Good morning. As we come to look at God's word together, let's pray. Lord our God, by your Holy Spirit, may it be your voice and your voice alone that we hear. Amen. Dead. Dead and buried. Lost. Moved on, passed through, whatever euphemism is used, Lazarus is well and truly dead. By the time Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. According to Jewish custom, after 3 days, the soul leaves the person. And so by the fourth day, there's no hope of return. They are dead. Martha is in mourning, and although she tries not to accuse Jesus of a lack of care, she suggests that Jesus could have restored Lazarus if he'd come along sooner. Jesus's response, "I am the resurrection and the life." To start with, we're just going to solely look at the idea of Jesus saying, "I am the life." Each one of us here today, but I just check, is alive. As the saying goes, we're alive and kicking. Maybe our kicking is not as strong as it used to be, but we're breathing and we have the ability to move. The opposite of being alive is to be dead. And looking around, I can't see anyone who is dead. Yet. Jesus says, "I am the life." In John's Gospel, as we know, there's a number of "I am" sayings, and the light of the world, the bread of life, etc. Each one describes something of the nature and purpose of Jesus. When we look at the original Greek meaning of the word "I am," there's a sense of timelessness to it. Jesus says, "I am the life," in meeting with Martha. But also, I am the life here today and tomorrow. I am the life forever. Now, one of the features of us as living people is our ability to breathe. Stig Sørensen holds the world record for holding his breath underwater. Take a guess of how long he's able to do that for. 17 minutes. Higher. Less than 30 minutes. 22 minutes. After 22 minutes, even he needs to take a breath. The health warning, please don't try at a time. Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. The world in which we live has been created to provide us with the resources we need. There's air to breathe, food to eat. We have God-given abilities to use these resources for the advancement of all. The developments of science, medicine, and technologies are examples. Life is a gift from God. Lazarus, up until his death, has been accepting of this gift. Now for us, at points in our life, it might be easy to see life as a gift. The moments of joy, celebration, and of success. But what of those times when life is not joyful? That's difficult, through pain, illness, the trials of life, we call them. For those who find life to be a struggle, a battle, something to be endured, or where society sidelines people because of difference. Do you know that the average life expectancy of a person today is 81 years? In the 1990s, it was 76. So in just over 2 decades, it's increased by 5 years. But there are divides. There's a divide between the north and the south, between male and female, between income groups as well. We could look at the wider world and see what the life expectancy is in places of poverty, perhaps in Uganda, as we've heard about through our prayers already. It would be a lot lower. But let's just for a moment think about here in the UK. With this increase in life expectancy, it brings with it issues, some of which have been in the media much recently. Bed blocking, funding in social care, closure of residential homes, lack of people willing to work in social care, and the poor pay and conditions for those people who do work in social care. It's not only an issue for the elderly, though, but also for those with chronic health needs, mental health issues, those who are vulnerable but are living members of our society. Jesus says, "I am the life." I've been reading the book by Justin Welby, Dethroning Mammon, and he talks of Jean Vanier, of the L'Arche community, a community set up throughout the world to support those who are vulnerable in living together. Vanier, in talking of this passage from John's Gospel, suggests that Lazarus, an unmarried man living with his sisters, may have had some additional need, may have had some vulnerability. My own reading of that is that Vanier is suggesting that maybe Lazarus has some form of autism or Down syndrome. I'm speculating. But I think it speaks very powerfully into our understanding of this story. Verse 3 has the sisters sending a message to Jesus. "Lord, the one you love is ill." Again, in verse 5, Jesus seems to have a special concern for Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus, in his response to Martha, "I am the life," says, "I am the one who is in the very living of life, whatever and wherever life may be." Certainly, when we read the Gospels, Jesus comes to those who are on the edges of society. The norms of the society at the time mean Jesus should have avoided these people. It's been suggested that the community at Bethany itself could have been the home for the poor and the sick, and Jesus made frequent visits. Jesus was with those who were alive, but for whom the living of life may have had a vulnerability about it. What does that say to us? What does that say to us when there are people unable to live the life Jesus has given us all the ability to live? I'd like to suggest 4 elements to our response. I start with prayer. I make no apology for starting with prayer. I've heard it said, and probably said it myself in a slightly flippant way, pray about it. But prayer has to be the starting point. Jesus prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus did not need to pray, but he knew the people around him needed to hear him make that connection. And that's what prayer is about. Prayer is our connection with God. For some of us, maybe all we can do at this moment is pray for those who are vulnerable in our society. But that's never to underestimate the value of prayer. For others, prayer can lead us into the next element of response, and that is to be informed. Know what's happening in the world around us. A number of weeks ago, Phil used the phrase sleepwalking through life, and that stuck with me. It can be easy for us to get up, caught up in the busyness of life, that we fail to see or even know what's happening around us. The community in which we live, and I'm sorry to say that's the global community, needs to know and experience Jesus the life. We're unable to respond effectively if we don't know what is happening. For those of us living in Surrey, this last week on our mat dropped our polling card. There are upcoming elections later on in May for Surrey County Council. One of the big issues for Surrey at this time is that of social care. There's a debate going on, isn't it? Are our council tax going to rise in order to pay for social care? I ask this of myself. Do I know who the candidates are who are standing and the policies which they have on this issue? Do I know? How am I going to find out? Thirdly, act. Jesus was warned of the dangers of returning to Bethany. Even the disciples realized this could mean death. But this did not stop him from going to Bethany. It didn't stop him from doing the will of his Father. Now, action will look very different for each one of us. It could be practical care, practical support of those we know who are vulnerable. It could be the use of our resources, our time, our money, our expertise, our influence. Just over about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Bishop of Croydon, who's an active member of Citizens UK, asked the clergy and parishioners to join him in the Houses of Parliament, where there was a debate going on that involved the Dubs Amendment, which was about the bringing in of children into this country. I read the email and I had to make a choice. Do I go? I've never in my life been involved in anything like that, that actually going into Parliament. And I'm so glad I went, because it made me realise that even me, the small individual person that I am, have a right and a responsibility to actually communicate with my MP. He wasn't there, but that's not the point. Later on, I had a phone call from his assistant, asking me to go and speak, and I know some members of the congregation did go and speak to him. But one person can make a difference. I stepped out of my comfort zone. I might step out of my comfort zone again, having done it once. I'm going to change that. I will step out of my comfort zone. Jesus went to Bethany. He brought Lazarus back to life. Lazarus comes out of the tomb following Jesus' command. He still has the grave clothes wrapped around him. They need to be removed because they prevent him from living life. For Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and the mourners, there must have been one big celebration. What a story to tell. a story of Jesus, the one who raises the dead to life. Finally, challenge. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus willingly goes to Bethany to bring life to Lazarus. But this sets in motion the events which will lead to his death. Death for Jesus meant suffering, pain, and separation. But this was the only way in which God was able to bring about restoration. 3 days later, as we will celebrate on Easter Day, Jesus overcame death. The resurrection of Jesus means death no longer has a hold over us. The resurrection changes the life we live. It brings hope, comfort, joy, love, and restoration. And surely this is something to be shared with our community. Prayer. Be informed, act, and challenge, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen.